risen. Three small words that brought the collective pace of humanity to an absolute standstill. He is risen. Three words that shattered prisons. Words that shook the earth's foundations. Words that transformed a sense of utter despair into cries of pure joy and ecstasy. Echoes of history's greatest triumph that still shape our reality. Even today, we're assaulted by constant distraction, countless sources waging war for our attention, yet three words pierce the noise. In our hunger for validation, our desperate pleas for love and attention, three words calm our anxiety. In a universe spinning at breakneck speed, its inhabitants locked in an existential crisis, three words proclaim the purpose of our existence. He is risen. Lay hold of this truth and embrace the peace within. Yesterday, fear reigned in our hearts. Yesterday, we sat in crippling darkness. Yesterday, we suffered abuse and all the accusations of a broken world. But today, our King, our healer, our defender is risen. And this reality doesn't merely accompany us on a meaningless journey. This changes everything. Yes. For you see, if he is risen, then all other pursuits become secondary. All of our failures become insignificant. All criticisms and condemnations become irrelevant. There is only his word, his mission, and his infinite, unconditional love for you. Because he is risen, we look to tomorrow. Tomorrow, we will stop defining our worth by through status and social media. Tomorrow, we will together build an everlasting kingdom. Tomorrow and every day after, we will dance in the radiance of a redeeming Savior who crushed death and set us free. There is nothing that Jesus cannot overcome. We know this because he lives. We know this because he is risen.
Lord, this morning we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Happy Resurrection Sunday, church. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? He is risen. Well, if you could stay risen a little bit longer and turn to John chapter 20, stay on your feet a little bit longer. John chapter 20 and verse 1, and I wanted to take this time to wish my sister a very happy birthday today. She's 21, she tells me. So my sister Ruth, and those that you don't know, that's my sister right there next to her husband Joshua and her oldest daughter Sarah. Let's put our hands together for Sister Ruth. She does great work around the church here. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Happy birthday. Make sure you say happy birthday after church. John chapter 20, verse 1 to 16. Going to go on the same theme that I was in the first service. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. It's going to be on the screen there. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. Everyone say the other disciple. That happens to be John. John refers to himself in the third person. When he writes, he says the other disciple. And then he adds these words, whom Jesus loved. You see, John had a revelation. We know that John wrote the book of Revelation, but he also had a revelation before he had that revelation. And he had the revelation that he was loved by Jesus. That's why we call him John the Beloved. And so when I think about everything that John wrote in the book of Revelation, I realize that he could have only written all of those things, which can be very, very scary when you read the book of Revelation. But he could only write all of those things knowing that Jesus loved him. He says, I am the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And so she ran and came to Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we don't know where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple, and they came to the sepulchre. So I can imagine them trying to get up and get all their things together and get out. And they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying there, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. They went in also, that other disciple. That other disciple went in as well. John went in, which came to the sepulchre first, and he saw and believed. Everyone say he believed. It says here, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the other disciples went away again unto their own home. Everyone say they went home. They went home. But Mary stood outside of the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looking into the sepulchre. And she looked in and she saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and the other at the feet where Jesus had been laid. And they said unto her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and she saw Jesus standing, and she didn't realize it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, he said to her also, like the angel did, he said, woman, why weepest thou? Who seekest thou? And she thought that he was the gardener. She said, sir, if they have borne him hence, if they have taken him away, please, Mr. Gardener, tell me where they have laid him, and I will go and take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. Ooh. You see, she didn't know, recognize Jesus in the garden. But Jesus knew her name, and he called her name. He said, Mary. And she turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. When Jesus called her name, she realized that it was the Master. And I want to tell you today, Jesus is still calling people's names today. He called my name. You know what? And just like he came out of that grave, I came out of the grave as well. The grave of sin, the grave of anything that holds us hostage, that tomb. I came out when he called my name. And there are testimonies here in this house today. You can say that Jesus brought you out. Are you thankful today? Anybody got a testimony today that Jesus brought you out, that he called your name? Amen. I want to speak today on this title, Experiencing the Risen Savior. And the Apostle Paul said it in Philippians 3, verses 10 to 13, I believe he said, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And that is my point today, is that you can experience the risen Savior in your life today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you know us. Lord, you know us like nobody knows us. Lord, you formed us in our mother's womb. You called our name, Lord God, and we thank you. Lord God, I pray today that somebody would experience you in a new and a fresh way. Let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That we would experience you, that we would experience a resurrection in our life. We give you all the praise and all the glory, and all the church says amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. In our text today, it's a text that will be read all across churches around Australia and around the world. In fact, there's a lot of places in the world. It's still Saturday over there. And so I like to go ahead and contact my friends in America, and I tell them, have a great Sunday. I said, everything's prepared. We've gone ahead. and you can just follow. We've done all the work for you, you know. I like to remind them, but it's Resurrection Sunday. And today, we remember that Jesus came out of that grave. And Mary Magdalene, she went on that Easter Sunday morning before the sun was up. And Mary is on her way to the tomb, and there's a whole lot of feelings that she would have had. She would have been worried. The other thing is that she was alone. You must remember that it was dark. And you should also remember she's going to a tomb. And I think to myself, I think as I read that passage, how in the world did Mary Magdalene think that she was going to move that stone? I mean, she was going there to prepare his body for burial. But how in the world did she think that she was going to move that big stone out of the way? But she's on a mission. She's on a mission because of the coming Passover and because of Jesus's burial. It was so hurried, they weren't able to do it properly. They weren't able to take the proper spices, and they weren't able to anoint his body. So Mary intends, as she goes to that tomb that day, she intends to go up and make up for the lack of preparation. And when she arrives at the tomb, it's dark, and she can't see much, but she can see enough to realize that the stone has already been rolled away. She can see enough to see that his body is no longer there in the tomb. Even in the darkness, she can see that Jesus' body is no longer there. And so what does she do? Brother Tendai, she turns around and she runs. And she runs to the place where Peter and John are sleeping. They're having a sleep, and she walks in there and she says to them, she says, "They've taken the body of Jesus." And I imagine they would have woken up with a fright. She said, "They've taken the master's body, and I don't know where they've taken it." Now, if that was me being woken up in the early hours of the morning by a lady screaming at me that they've taken the body, just anything would have been enough. I would have been in a panic. And I imagine Peter and John would have bounced out of bed trying to find their clothes, trying to get their trousers on, falling over. And Mary's, "Come on, let's go. They've taken his body." They're trying to find, "Where's my shoes?" And, you know, like we are in the morning. Sorry, someone's got a service dog over there. That was an amen. Thank you. She said, "They've taken the master's body." And so they run with her. John, I won't get too excited, pup. And John gets to the tomb first, and she sees the grave clothes that are neatly folded. John sees the napkin that was around Jesus' head. John doesn't go in. Now, I can understand why John didn't go in. I mean, it's dark, Sister Jerusalem. It's a tomb. I probably would have stood back myself. I would have gone in, but then Peter shows up, and Peter goes right on in. He goes into the sepulchre, and he goes in and sees the grave clothes, and then John, after Peter, he follows and goes in. But a strange thing is said in the scriptures, and I don't know exactly what it means, but when John sees the grave, and he sees the grave clothes, he sees the tomb empty, it says of John that he believed. Everybody say, "He believed." He believed. Now, I'm not sure exactly what he believed, because the next verse says, straight after that, it says, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." So they didn't know that. But when they saw the linen cloth and they saw the napkin folded, John believed something. Most likely, obviously, he knew Jesus wasn't there. It could be that he believed that Jesus was risen. But it may even be more likely that he believed exactly what they all thought, that they have taken his body and they don't know where it is. That maybe he was believing that maybe they were desecrating the body of Jesus, that they had taken it. And so he believed, the Bible says. But we go further into that and we see that something happened. Peter and John, they saw the empty tomb, they saw the linen cloth, they saw the folded napkin, they saw the stone rolled away, and what did they do? They went home. Everybody say they went home. And since it was dark, we can presume that they went home to go to sleep. They were awakened in the middle of the night. They went home most likely to go back to bed because, just come to think of it, it had been quite a stressful week, to say the least. Having seen the Savior crucified on the cross, all the doubts and all the fears and all of the things going through their head, they went home, and I believe they went home to go to bed. They just go home. But there was someone else there aside from Peter and John. There was Mary Magdalene, and we read about her. And she is standing outside the sepulchre. She doesn't go home. She stands there. She's weeping. And as she's weeping, there's something happens. She maybe it's a feeling, maybe it's woman's intuition or whatever it is. As she's weeping, she turns and she sees Jesus. She didn't know it was Jesus, but she turns, and the Bible says she supposed that it had been the gardener. There was no going home for her. Listen to me today. Mary Magdalene was not happy to see that the tomb was empty. Mary Magdalene was not happy just to see the linen cloth. Mary Magdalene was not happy just to see the folded napkin. She was not happy just to see that the stone is rolled away. She couldn't just go home. She said, "This is not about where he was. I want to know where he is." It's obvious that he's not here. It's obvious that he was here. But I'm not satisfied to know where he was. I want to know where he is. And she tarried and she waited and she wept outside of that tomb because she wanted to know not where he was, but where he is. And about that time, a voice from behind her says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She thought it was the gardener, and she said, "Sir, they've taken the body of the Lord." She said, "Tell me, if you know where he is, tell me where they have laid him, and I will go to him." And then Jesus says her name. Everybody say, he says her name. 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 Hearing your name is one of the most precious things you could hear. When somebody says your name. And she didn't know who he was, but Jesus knew who she was. In fact, he had formed her in her mother's womb. This is God in flesh, the creator of heaven and earth. He's there, the risen Savior. And he says her name. He says, "Mary." And the moment that he says her name, she says, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." That is the best response you can give when God calls your name. Master. In other words, you're saying who he is and who you're not. When you say master, it is a sign of your humility and your submission. You are saying, "You are God and I'm not God. You are the master, I'm not the master. You're in control. I don't know what I'm doing." And when he calls her name, she says, "Master." So what are you saying, Pastor? Peter and John went home. Mary stayed at the tomb. My point today is simply this. Don't be satisfied just to see an empty tomb. Don't be satisfied today just to know about Jesus. Don't be satisfied to just know where he was. Don't be satisfied to just see the grave clothes. But you can experience, if you would just tarry, if you would just wait there by that tomb, if you would just wait there in the middle of your crisis, in the middle of your fear, if you would just wait on the Lord, you can experience the risen Savior for yourself. He will come to you. He will visit you. He will call your name. He knows exactly what's going on inside of your life and everything that's going on in your heart. Just wait on the Lord and he will visit you. And so, brothers and sisters, don't come to church today satisfied to just walk out of those doors and say, "You know what? We remembered the resurrected Savior. We know that the tomb is empty. We know where he was. But I tell you, we can know where he is today, and you can experience him. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how much you know about the Bible or how little you know about the Bible. It doesn't matter if it's your first time in church today. You can experience the risen Savior. And we are here today because we've had an experience with Jesus. He's picked us up, the song says, out of the miry clay. Our feet are on the rock. We found hope in a hopeless world. We have experienced the risen Savior. Come on, somebody say amen today. There are testimonies here today where God brought you out of the pit. He took you from the guttermost to the uttermost. And you're standing here today with a testimony. Jesus found me at my lowest point. He found me when I was broken. He found me when I was lost. I tell you, resurrection speaks to all the broken parts of our life. It's not enough to just know where he was. You can experience the resurrection in your life today. He is here in this place today. And that's why we keep coming back. That's why we worship God, because he inhabits the praises of his people. When we come here and we lift up our hands, we feel his presence. We feel him moving on our heart. When the word is preached, we feel God speaking to us. And so I ask you today, are you hurting? Are you like Mary? Are you weeping? Are you like Mary? Are you in darkness today? I'll tell you, Jesus is calling your name. And yes, you say, my name? Pastor, who am I? I am just one. You say, I'm here to church. At church today, there's a lot of other people. Why would God be calling my name? And I said this before, I don't believe there are coincidences, that you're here because it is the divine plan of God, that I'm preaching this message because it is the will of God. And whatever you're going through today, he is calling your name. Don't stay in the tomb any longer. Don't stay bound any longer. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. There is power in the name of Jesus. Every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess. There is power in the name of Jesus. Demons flee. Sickness leaves at the name of Jesus. And so you say, who am I? I'm one. Yeah, there's quite a crowd here today. And yes, you are but one. But Jesus cares about the one. The evangelist Philip was evangelizing in Samaria, and he was seeing great revival in Samaria. But God told him to go to the desert because there was one. An Ethiopian eunuch happened to be there. And there he is, the evangelist Philip leaves the crowds, people, all these miraculous things are happening there in Samaria. And God says, you're done here with the crowds. I'm going to send you to the one. And he goes into the wilderness, and there is that Ethiopian eunuch riding on a chariot, reading the Bible. And Philip goes there and he preaches to him Jesus. You know what? God was calling that Ethiopian eunuch's name. And the Bible says they went down into the water and he was baptized for the forgiveness of sins. God cares about the one. And if he can send Philip from Samaria all the way to the wilderness for one riding on a chariot, he can use this service to reach the one. You may be the one. He's calling your name today. I know I was the one. I know that he spoke to me and he speaks to me. I come to church. He cares enough. Even though this word is a corporate word to the whole church, God is speaking to each and every life individually, to circumstances, a rhema and timely word. We know Jesus said that he would leave the 99 to go to the one. He told us the story of the lady that had 10 coins and she lost one coin and she turned her whole house upside down to find the one coin. He cares about the one. You can experience the risen Savior in your life today. If you would come to that point and you would say, I'm not satisfied to know where he was. I'm not satisfied to just know about God, but I want to know him for myself. I want to experience the power of his resurrection. And that's what Paul said. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I don't want to just see the grave clothes and go home. I don't just want to see the empty tomb and go home. It's not enough just to come here Easter Sunday and to celebrate his resurrection and go home. But I want to experience a resurrection in my life today. Somebody say amen. Don't be satisfied. You see, happy Resurrection Sunday. Why does it mean so much to us? It's because we are testimonies of that resurrection. You see, there are people here that in this church that have been delivered, set free, come out of the tomb of many different circumstances. Alcoholism, cocaine, marijuana. I tell you today, God still resurrects lives today. There are people here today, your marriage has been broken by all sorts of things. Your marriage is back together again. There are people who were meant to die, and you say, if it wasn't for the Lord, where would I be today? I was meant to die. I had a sickness unto death, but God healed me. There are people here today who had no hope, not even a hope for tomorrow, but when they found Jesus, they found hope in their life. Somebody say amen. And so he came out victorious. And because of Jesus, I can have victory in my life today. If the musicians could come. Peter and John, we read it. They went home. They were satisfied just to see where Jesus had been. Everyone say where he had been. But not Mary. I pray that there's a Mary here today. I pray that there's a Mary. And you know who this Mary was? Study Mary Magdalene. She was the one out of whom Jesus had cast seven demons. And you say, well, Mary was good. Well, you get a little bit of insight into her life. The first person Jesus appeared to was Mary, who out of whom he had cast seven demons. She had been set free. And so if you're here today and you say, I'm too bad, I tell you, you're not too bad. His blood will cover it all. It doesn't matter. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. His blood will cover it. There's power in his blood. Whatever it is, witches, warlocks, murderers, abusers, whoever they are, there's nothing that the blood won't cover. And you say, well, Pastor, what about this? And you know what the blood says? I'll cover that as well. Mary Magdalene, she was the first one who experienced the risen Savior. A woman out of whom he had cast seven demons. Then what did she do? I believe that Mary Magdalene, just as the scripture says, she went everywhere telling everybody he was risen. She became the first evangelist of the New Testament church. She went everywhere saying, he is risen. He is risen. He is no longer in the grave. He is risen. I met him. I met the Master. He changed my life. He was there in my weeping. He was there in the darkness. He is risen. And we got a message, church, to tell somebody that he is risen. And it's not just historical, but he is risen in my life. And I've experienced his resurrection. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord today. We got a testimony. We can celebrate today. He is risen. Let's all stand here today. You see, Jesus didn't just conquer death for himself. It wasn't about him. I tell you, it was about us. He did it for us. And so whoever you are today, stay in the garden. Stay tarrying. Make it your heart's desire to say, Jesus, I'm not happy just to know about you, but I want to know you and I want to experience your resurrection in my life today. He called my name. He knows me. You see, the story of the resurrection becomes real. Not when you come to church and sing some songs and hear some preaching, but the story of the resurrection becomes real when you experience Jesus for yourself. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can raise us from the deadness of our life. Romans chapter 8 verse 11, and I've experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Many of you have. I tell you, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Romans 8 verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit. You say, well, I'm alive already. Well, I think I am. I pinched myself. Pretty sure I'm breathing. Hang on, let me check my pulse. Yeah, there's a heartbeat. Paul says you're not really alive until you're filled with the Spirit. He brings life to your mortal bodies. And there are people here today who would say that is your testimony. You say, what, Pastor? I was never truly living until I met Jesus and I experienced his resurrection power in my life. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now, because I know there's somebody here today. You're not just happy to know where he was, but you want to experience him today. There's a Mary Magdalene here today, and you've come and you seek to know him. You want to experience Jesus for yourself. You're not satisfied with the witness of your parents or the witness of your friends, but you want to know Jesus for yourself. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, you know what? I am dead. I feel dead. I feel dead inside. I don't feel like I have hope for tomorrow. I tell you, when you experience Jesus, the Bible says that you become a new creature. When you're born again, you become a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. Life comes into every part of your life, of Jesus comes into every part of your life, bringing your mortal body to life. If you've never experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I prayed with one lady already today. She was filled with the Holy Spirit right here at this altar. But if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I tell you, there's nothing like being filled with the Holy Spirit. When I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. I began to speak in that heavenly language. There's nothing like it. I still pray in the Spirit. But you can experience a resurrection in your life today. Hallelujah. This altar is open if you want to come and pray. And I encourage everybody, don't just go home. Come and bow the knee today and say, Jesus, I need a resurrection in my life. Whatever circumstance, whatever need it is, you can experience the resurrected Savior in your life today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. This altar is open. You want to come and pray. If you want to kneel at your seat, if you want to bow your head, but every single one of us, let us just spend some time just seeking God right now. People are moving to the altar. You can feel free to move to this altar and pray. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we cast all of our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us, Jesus. Let your Spirit move in this house. Fill somebody again with your Spirit, oh God. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Somebody come to the altar today and say, Jesus, I'm not happy to know where you've been, but I want to experience you today. He's calling somebody's name today. He's calling you to leave the past behind, to leave the mess behind, to leave that darkness behind, to leave your old life behind and live for Jesus. Let him fill you with his Spirit. Repent of your sin today and say, Jesus, I'm sick of the life that I was living, and I want to live my life for you today. Oh.